So our scripture today is coming from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And Paul has had an ongoing relationship with this church in Corinth. And much of it, it seems, has been an uphill battle for him. He's having to defend his ministry, defend himself and his ministry. And in much of the letter, that seems the case. But he loves this church. He loves them, and he wants what's best for this church. And so we have this letter. And really, if you look closer, Paul isn't just defending himself. Paul is defending the gospel. He's defending the true gospel that gives us freedom, that transforms us. He's making sure that the gospel of Jesus isn't lost or isn't diminished for them and for us. I'm glad he did. And so we're reading today from the second book of Corinthians, from chapter 3 into the first part of chapter 4. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the Spirit of God. In our scripture today, Paul answers the question for us about where we might find freedom. Where is freedom, real freedom? We may have all kinds of ideas about this, about where freedom is, but in this scripture, Paul insists that freedom, it's where the Spirit of the Lord is. That's where it is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so in truth, whether you're in church or you're in prison, or at work or at home, we can turn and we can enter into this space where the Spirit of the Lord is and know the freedom that God has for us. Know the gift of mercy and God's presence and God's love that can start to change us into who we're really meant to be. This is one of the most well-known verses in the scriptures on the freedom found in Christ. Though this scripture as a whole, really, it's actually more about transformation, about the people that we're called to become because of this freedom, because of God's presence with us. It's really about transformation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, it says. And then it goes on to say, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. In the presence of God and the Spirit of the Lord, we are given the gift and the calling to be transformed, to be made new and whole and grow into the image of Christ. This is the goal in the practice of our faith, transformation into the image of Christ. The theologian Soren Kierkegaard once wrote a letter to the people of Denmark, which at the time was filled with Christians, people who Christians who weren't really acting all that Christian. And so he told them a story, a little parable. And he said, once upon a time, there was this land inhabited only by ducks. Only by ducks. And every Sunday morning, the ducks got up and they washed their faces and and they put on their Sunday clothes and they waddled off to church. And they waddled through the door of their duck church and proceeded down the aisle and took their familiar places in the pews, and the duck minister got into the pulpit and opened the duck Bible to the place where it talked about God's greatest gifts to ducks, which is wings. Wings. With wings we can fly, he said. With wings we can soar like eagles. With wings we can escape the confines of pens and cages. With wings we can become free. We can become all that God meant us to be. And so he said, give thanks to God for your wings, my friends, and fly. Fly. And all the ducks, they loudly quacked, amen, amen. And then they all got up. All the ducks got up and they slowly waddled all the way back home. And isn't that too much like us sometimes, given wings to fly, yet waddling along as if that's all there was? Pastor John Ortberg told about a man in their church named Hank. And Hank was kind of going through life kind of a cranky old man. And he was a cranky young man, and he was a crankier old man. And he went to church, and week after week for years, Hank would come, and it was always the same. And one of the deacons asked him once, they said, hey Hank, are you happy? Are you happy? And Hank paused to reflect and then replied without smiling, yeah. And then the deacon responded, well then tell your face. Tell your face. And the church had some expectations, you know, of people, of him, to have some certain religious beliefs and attend church and read the Bible, support the church financially and pray and avoid some certain sins, of course. These are reasonable expectations. But the church didn't really expect that he would change. They didn't assume that each year they'd find him more compassionate and more joyful and gracious. And so they weren't really shocked when it didn't happen. I'm not sure that we always really expect transformation in the church and in others and in ourselves. I'm not sure that we expect that really. But I don't think that that's God's plan for God's people. We're called to be transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, Paul says. We're called out of our old selves and into the Spirit, into a life transformed. My daughter is just starting to really get into fairy tales. And she's always loved reading books, but she's just really been introduced to this world of fairy tales. And fairy tales, they're often about transformation. We're not far away. You can step into a new world. Or the world around is changed or magical. Or where the main characters in the stories are completely changed, where frogs can become princes. Or ugly ducklings become swans, and wooden marionettes can be real boys. And so often when we read these stories, these kinds of stories at home, my daughter will ask, is that true? Is that really true? We have to try to be honest and not ruin the magic and say, well, isn't it nice to pretend? Isn't it nice to pretend? And transformation is something that these fairy tales and the gospel have in common. It's transformation. There's something in common here, except that with the gospel, we don't have to pretend. With the gospel, it's true. It's true. In this scripture passage, Paul is trying to make his point about all of this using the image of a veil. The kind of veil that hides our eyes or keeps us out from the presence of God. This is really an important connection for us. Paul has multiple references here, especially about Moses. How Moses, if you remember, went up the mountain at Sinai and he couldn't see God himself. That was too much. But he was able to see the glory of God as it passed by him. And so great was the presence of God that passed by that when he came down the mountain, his face, it was shining. It was glowing. He was changed because of this encounter with the God. And people, the people, they couldn't handle it. They were afraid. And so he had to put this veil over his face. They had to put it up to hide his shining face. If you remember in the Old Testament temple, the people would come from all over the place, and they would come to the temple, and they would come into the outer court, and there they could offer a sacrifice on the altar there, and they could go through a veil and into a holy place where, with an altar of incense, and you could come this far, you could go this far, but still there was another veil that separated them from the Holy of Holies, and there was the presence of God behind the veil, where only the high priest could go, and only once a year. And if you read the story of when Christ breathed his last breath on the cross, it was this veil that was torn. The veil was torn in two. And it opened it up for everyone, all of us, to come right in to the presence of God. We can enter into the holiest of places where the Spirit of God dwells. And God wants us to step into the presence of God and to live out our lives there. And we have to leave behind these veils, the man-made veils of our own making that keep us out. We have to leave behind our hardened hearts, our old selves, and turn and dwell in the presence of God. And then we step into new life. We step into transformed life in Christ. This is where God can work in us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, making us into who we're made to be, leaving anger for love, and sorrow for joy, changing us from one degree of glory to another. One pastor reminded me that it's like the rule in Jesus' day was simple. That if you touch a leper, if you touch a dead body or touch anyone that's unclean, then you become unclean. But with Jesus, though, with Jesus, it's a different story. With Jesus, it goes the other way. It somehow works just the opposite, where the leper and the unclean, with Jesus, it's his holiness and his glory that spreads, and they become infected with this glory, the glory of Christ, and they're healed and they're changed and they're overcome with his glory, with his life. And coming into the presence of God, being connected with Christ, it means that his life is starting to become our life. His glory can become our glory, little by little, glory to glory. A really common phrase, that you can hear Christians say is the phrase, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." I've heard that before, sure. Which is not altogether false, that we're sinners and we're saved by grace. That's true enough. And there are times it feels like that's all we'll ever be, just a sinner. But God also wants to transform us. We were made not just to be sinners, but to be saints. Saints. Whole new creations in Christ. We are transformed. Transformed. And this word transformation in the scripture, it's most like the word metamorphosis. You know this word, like the word that we use to describe the process of how a caterpillar becomes and changes into a butterfly. It's such a drastic change this is. So common in the world, and maybe we don't think about it. But this little creepy, crawly, worm-like thing, this little thing that we can watch crawling across the road, it doesn't just stay like that, but it crawls into a cocoon. And in time, it's completely changed and transformed into a butterfly, something totally new, beautiful, flying around as if that's what it was made to do. And the same is true for the Christian who draws near to the presence of God. We are transformed. I heard someone say that when they hear a Christian say, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace," they want to say to them that makes about as much sense as a butterfly saying, "I'm just a worm with wings." No, it's more than that. We are more than that. God can bring us out of our old selves, out of our broken lives, and broken lives can be made whole and ever more holy, full of joy, compassion, and graciousness. This is the gospel. God works within us, molding us and making us into the new and beautiful image of Christ. Life transformed, not just sinner, but saint. This is who we're made to be in Christ our Lord.